The scripture reading today is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said they were filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." For the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Doug, for being our liturgist. You survived the text that is filled with names for Pentecost. If you ever volunteer to be liturgist, remember what text is in store for Pentecost. So check the calendar. Thank you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be good and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. We could easily reframe this and say, when the day of confirmation had come, they were all together in one church. Or perhaps, when the day of graduation had come, they were all together in one Moby gymnasium. Today is the day in our Christian story when the disciples graduate, in a way, from Jesus College. Happy graduation! They graduate from being the 12 disciples to become the 12 apostles. This is the real Big 12, not football. The meaning of the two different words, the meaning of disciple and apostle, the difference in these words illustrates what happens at Pentecost and having Pentecost be understood as a form of graduation. The word disciple comes from the same Greek root as the word discernment. Discernment and disciple. This means that disciple is someone who is a learner, a seeker. So when we refer to them as the disciples, it means that they're still in the student phase of ministry, learning from Jesus. That makes total sense if we look at the chronology of the Bible. The Acts of the Apostles, which our text comes from today, is the sequel or the companion text to the Gospel of Luke. The two have the same historical author and are really continuous from one to the other. Acts picks up right where Luke leaves off. So when the author calls it the Acts of the Apostles, it is a post-Pentecost event. They are disciples in Luke and they are apostles in Acts. So the word apostle, in contrast with the word disciple, means one who is sent forth. as a messenger with all adequate training and information to help train others to discern and continue learning. For all of those of you familiar with higher education, this should sound kind of familiar to you. Today is the graduation day for the disciples because it's the day when they are sent forth with the knowledge they need to transform others and the world. Now, hopefully, any professor will tell you that we are all lifelong learners, and just because you become a professor doesn't mean that you know everything, almost everything, but not everything. In this case, the disciples go from being students to professional graduates, sent forth with what they have learned to every corner of the world. From now on, when you think of Pentecost, think about the idea of graduation. This is a graduation ceremony in God's style for the disciples. And it reminds me about how much I love graduations. There's so much good energy in the space of a graduation. When I graduated from Grinnell and Emory, my favorite part was always watching all the professors walk by with their regalia, with their outfits, with their different robes and hats. So I always think that it's a good moment. Some of you might know this, that different disciplines and different universities have different outfits. So divinity, for example, is this red that's supposed to be the blood of Christ, so kind of fits. I think public health is pink, so every discipline has its own color. And some of them even have their own hats. I know that Brown University has a hat that looks like a beanbag that they put on their head. At least for certain disciplines, khaki. I don't know about all of them. But the point I'm trying to get is that this is God's version of graduation regalia, the flames on their heads. Our world today and our country are being consumed with sort of an anti-academic, an anti-training, anti-professional, anti-denominational, anti-factual, anti-science, anti-anything approved or certified. We hear this in our political discourse. Degrees and facts and research are devalued. In today's world, the disciples would be told that they didn't have the right documentation to be apostles. Today, the Pentecost story would be filled with worse things said than they are full of new wine. The disciples have been sent out by God to teach, to talk, to speak, to become professors of the gospel. This is what is happening at confirmation, in my understanding, at 11 a.m. here at Plymouth. We are sending out new confirmands, confirmed in the gospel. It doesn't mean that we have all the answers, or that it becomes easier, or that conflicts go away. Any of the professors in this room or at CSU will tell you that even though they're professors, they're still learning from time to time. And we even see this in the Bible. This is the Acts of the Apostles, but later on with Paul, Paul questions the disciples. We shouldn't be anti-intellectual, fearful of achieving credentials or membership in communities such as confirmation. We still make mistakes and need to grow. But let us celebrate Pentecost and graduation as a step towards becoming teachers of the gospel. Now, of course, the disciples experience a somewhat more dramatic graduation. Here's how it goes, and Doug read it very well. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound of the rush of wind, and it filled the entire place where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now that is what I call a graduation ceremony. And quite the regalia as well. The scripture says that tongues of fire landed on the disciples, and they began to speak in other tongues, in other languages. The word tongue, which I think we often think of as a tongue from an animal landing on them in the shape of a fire, it actually means languages. So languages of fire landed on them. And they're able to teach and transform with these languages. So now, as modern mainline Protestants, how many of us get a little bit of a shiver when we hear the words speaking in tongues? Just me? Okay, some of you are admitting it. That's good. That's because within the popular culture, speaking in tongues has been taken on as this idea that someone has a spiritual superiority, right? It's an individual prayer. We see this in culture with our evangelical brothers and sisters, that if they speak in tongues, it means that they've reached a new level of spiritual ability. But what we see in the text is something entirely different. In the text, speaking in tongues is given as something for the community, as an ability to communicate in ways not before done. Speaking in tongues is not a sign of spiritual superiority. It just means ability to communicate. The Bible says that the newly graduated apostles spoke in the language of each. And how can we understand that as progressive mainline Protestants? How can we reimagine what speaking in tongues might mean to us? We are in church. This is how I like to think of it. We are in church to learn how to be confirmed, to become professors of communication, of hope in a world so filled with hate. We stand in city meetings and speak about the importance of affordable housing to our faith. We advocate for the homeless, and we do so much more of speaking in tongues and communicating in ways that are unexpected so that others can hear us. In our passage today, in 20 verses, there are over 20 references to speaking and hearing. An analysis of this would show that the idea that we speak is the center of this text. We don't remain silent. Plymouth, we are in a training course to be set forth as professors of faith, to learn to teach and speak and express ourselves in new ways. Even when these conversations are happening only in English, sometimes we're speaking in new ways of communicating, speaking in tongues. Does this make sense to anyone? Okay, good. Just because we speak only in English to each other doesn't mean that it's not a communicating in new ways that are needed and unexpected. We are sent forth as professors, confirmed as graduates of faith, to tactfully speak to skeptics of faith and our neighbors who don't understand why church is necessary. Those conversations are a form of speaking in tongues. When we're set forth into the throngs of neighbors who yell, "Not in my backyard," about affordable housing or housing options for the homeless, when we stand tall in meetings and disagree publicly, we are speaking in tongues. We're speaking in a new way of communicating. When we welcome LGBTQ people into our church, into our pulpits, as our ministers, that is a speaking in tongues to the world, communicating something new breaking forth. The UCC and Plymouth, we speak in new ways of communicating as we've been set forth as teachers. You speak in tongues that are countercultural when you speak for immigrant rights. You speak in tongues of hope when you claim that Jesus is still relevant for our world. Tongues of faith, languages of faith, many forms of faith are spoken in this place. We speak in tongues of hope, of love, of inclusion that so often sound like foreign languages in a culture of division and hate and this language of decline. The language that we speak of hope is a new language in a world where it's so unheard. We speak in voices and languages not heard every day or everywhere. Today, you are the graduating class of speaking of faith in new ways so that it can reach everyone in hope, in love, and in peace. Speak in tongues of hope that are new for the world. We don't speak in tongues in the way that culture expects us to as modern Christians, but as prophetic people of faith, attentive to a still speaking God, we are given the gift of language. Congratulations, Plymouth. You are now professors sent out to teach what you have learned, to be baptized by the fire of the Spirit of renewal. Congratulations to you on this Pentecost confirmation graduation weekend. Congratulations to Plymouth, class of 2016 of Pentecost. These are classrooms. These are moments where we are learning new languages to communicate to the world the power of the gospel and the meaning of the church for us in a new time, We don't speak in tongues in the way we're expected to, according to culture and according to the pop culture image of what that means. But we speak in languages unheard elsewhere, unheard in a world of hate and division. Go forth baptized in the fire of the Spirit and hopeful always. Amen.